let's kind of review a little bit here for a minute or two before we jump into Exodus chapter 4. In Exodus chapter 3, we see what the Lord wanted Moses to do. Verse 16 and 17 says this: "Now go and call together all the elders of Israel. Tell them, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me. He told me, 'I have been watching closely, and I see how the Egyptians are treating you. I have promised to rescue you from your oppression in Egypt. I will lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hezrites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live.'" So the Lord wanted Moses to tell people what God was doing, how he was working. What is it the Lord wants us to do? What does he want you and me to do? He wants us to tell our family and friends what God has promised and planned for them, right? Now that we've heard the good news, what God has promised and planned for us, the good things that he has in store for us, he wants us to share that good news with them. What has he promised our family and our friends and our loved ones? Well, he's promised them a better life. And will they accept this message? Will those that we know accept this message when we tell it to them? Well, they will if they know that it's coming from the Lord. Continuing on in verse 18, Moses said this: "The elders of Israel will accept your message. Then you and the elders must go to the king of Egypt and tell him," right? Tell the king, tell your people, "the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So please let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God." So what happened? There were some obstacles in this story, right? You know that. Will there be obstacles when we tell people about Jesus? Yes. However, these obstacles only prove that we're worthy of the kingdom of God. That's what they prove, right? Verse 19 to 20. "But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him. So I will raise my hand and strike the Egyptians, performing all kinds of miracles among them. Then at last, he will let you go." You know, the Lord is going to free you and break the chains that are holding you back, right? He's going to let you go. He's going to free you, and he's going to break those chains that are holding you back. Verse 21, "And I will cause the Egyptians to look favorably on you. They will give you gifts when you go, so you will not leave empty-handed. Every Israelite woman will ask for articles of silver and gold and fine clothing from her Egyptian neighbors and from the foreign women in their houses. You will dress your sons and daughters with these, stripping the Egyptians of their wealth." So the Lord told Moses exactly what he needed to do, what he wanted him to do. What is it we need to do, you and me, based on what the Lord told Moses? We need to do the same thing. We need to believe that God is with us and allow him to work through us in our lives. We need to believe it in our heart that God is with us, that he hasn't forgotten about you and your situation and the things that are heavy on your heart today that you're thinking about, mulling over in your mind. Did Moses believe that God was with him and allow God to work through him? Not exactly. How do we know this? Because he played the what if game. Let's jump right into chapter 4 here as we begin the next section or part of this message here today. Verse 1, "But Moses protested again. What believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? I think we often act just like Moses. I think we act just like him. We do play the what if game. I've played the what if game my whole life. It started in grade school, really. What if I don't get good grades, right? What if I don't get good grades? You know, I found this one out the hard way. Dad showed me what happened when I don't get good grades. Dad showed me. What if I ask this girl out on a date and she says no? You know, I never found this one out because I was too afraid of rejection. I was so shy. I was too afraid to even talk to a girl. What if I don't get into a good college? You know, I got into what I thought was a good college, but it wasn't for me. Why? Because it didn't bring me closer to Jesus. You know, that's really the standard we need to use with everything in our lives. Is this thing bringing me closer to Jesus? This thing in my life? These people I'm surrounding myself with? Whether it's a university or a school or a job or an activity, is this bringing me closer to Jesus? Well, the what if game after college, after I graduated, was what if I don't get a good job, right? I did all this studying for 4 years. Well, what if I don't get a good job? You know what? I didn't get a good job. I didn't. But that was part of God's plan for me. What if I marry the wrong person? I didn't marry the wrong person, but man, I dated the wrong person more than once, right? I sure did. Well, what if I make bad financial investments? What if I make the wrong financial investments? I did make bad financial investments. I lost everything I owned. Proverbs 22:6 says this, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. I read this verse and I think to myself, what if I do a bad job of raising my daughter Eden? What if I'm not a good dad? Okay? This is yet to be determined. I'm trying to direct her onto the right path. I'm hoping that she runs to Jesus first and foremost in her life. But what if she doesn't? She hasn't accepted the Lord yet as her Savior. And it's not because we haven't prayed with her. It's not because we haven't been reading the Bible to her. For those of you who have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you believe he died on the cross for your sins and rose again on the third day. You're his child. You're his child. You belong to him. And if you allow him to, he will direct you onto the right path. He will get you where you need to be in your life. Moses wanted to leave that path. Moses wanted to leave that path, but God wouldn't let him. How do we know this? Because God gave Moses 3 signs that he was with him. Let's look at these signs. You know these signs. You've heard this story before. Verse 2. Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab that snake. Grab it by its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Perform this sign, the Lord told him. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, What did this first sign mean? What did this first sign mean? First, God would help them. God would help them overcome the powers of Egypt. I want you to know that God will help you today. He will help you overcome whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is that you're wrestling with, dealing with. God will help you overcome that. Now, Egypt was the snake. Egypt was the snake. And Moses' initial reaction was to jump back from it. I don't know about you, but I hate snakes. I'm scared to death of snakes. I mean, really. I not only jump back, but I run from snakes. When we lived in Tennessee, the church had this parsonage that we lived in, and they had this retaining wall, and there would be these black snakes that would somehow come out of this wall. And man, I hated that place. And there would be this farmer across the road. We kind of had a rural-type church there where we were at, and I said, there's this black snake. I see it poke its head out, and he came over with a garden hoe, and I stood about 100 yards away. And he chopped that thing's head off, and he grabbed it and held it up, and he said, do you want to see it? And I'm like, no. And I ran further. You know, the Lord essentially said to Moses, and says to you and me today, you don't have to be afraid of that snake. You don't have, and I don't know what the snake is for you in your life, but the Lord's telling you today, you don't have to be afraid of that. You don't have to worry about that. That thing that you're afraid of, that you're worrying about. The Lord essentially said, I'm giving you control over it. So grab it by its tail and subdue it. And I don't know what it is that you're afraid of happening in your life right now. Could be something at school. What if? What if this happens? Could be something on your team. What if? Could be something at your job. What if they let me go? Well, what if I don't get the promotion? What if this new venture doesn't work out? Could be something to do with your health. What if I get the test back and they're not good? What if things keep getting worse with my health? Could be something to do with your future. What if this doesn't work out for us and our family in the future? Could be something with your marriage. What if? What if this happens in our marriage? Whatever it is, whatever it is, the Lord doesn't want you to run from it. Why? Because he has given you the power to conquer and overcome it. He has given you that power to conquer it and overcome it. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You need to believe it and you need to live it because it's true. What was the second sign the Lord gave Moses that he was with him, that he wasn't alone? Let's read on here, verses 6 and 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, now put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out again, his hand was white as snow with a severe skin disease. Now put your hand back into your cloak, the Lord said. So Moses put his hand back in, and when he took it out again, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. What did this second sign mean? What did this second sign mean? Second, God would cleanse and heal them. God would cleanse and heal them. They were living in a wicked pagan land, Egypt. They needed to be cleansed and healed. Here's the thing. We, the world we live in today, is under the control of the evil one. We live in a wicked pagan land. How do we know this? Because look around. Look around at what's going on in our world today. Not only can we look around and see what's going on, that the enemy is seemingly in control, right? But God's word tells us that he's in control. But we know who wins the victory. We know how it all ends. But we know how it is right now. 1 John 5:19, John says, the Apostle John says, we know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. It's a wicked, evil world we live in. Knowing this, what do we need to do? What do you and me need to do? We need to give our lives to Jesus. We need to surrender to Jesus. Why? Because he is the only one who can cleanse and heal us. He is the only one who can deliver us from this evil world we live in today. What's the third sign? The third sign that the Lord gave Moses, showed Moses that he was with him. Let's continue on, verses 8 and 9. The Lord said to Moses, if they do not believe you and are not convinced by the first miraculous sign, they will be convinced by the second sign. And if they don't believe you or listen to you even after these two signs, then take some water from the Nile River and pour it out on the dry ground. When you do, the water from the Nile will turn to blood on the ground. What did this third sign mean? What does this mean? God is the giver and taker of life. We talked about this the other week. God is the giver and taker of life. Not Pharaoh. Certainly not our government. Right? The Egyptians viewed the Nile River as the divine source of life. They looked at this river as if it was the source of life. Moses turning it into blood would be a symbol of their death. I don't know what it is that you're looking to today in this world to give you life. I don't know what it is that you're looking to and hoping that it's going to give you life. That is joy and peace and happiness. Because there is nothing in this world that will give you life. In fact, if you live for the things of this world, you will lose your life. Let me say that again. If you're wrapped up in the things of this world, if you're consumed in the things of this world, you're going to lose your life. Listen to what Jesus said, John 12:25. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Was Moses interested in serving God? Was he interested in serving? Not exactly. Listen to what he says here, verse 10. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. That's not true. That's not true. Where did he grow up? He grew up in the palace. He grew up as the princess's son. Acts 7:22 says this. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was powerful in both speech and action. Why then would Moses say what he said? Why would he say this? Because he was trying to escape his calling. He was trying to escape his calling. Are you trying to escape your calling in life? Are you trying to escape your calling in life? I know at times I have. I have. Why? Because of fear. Fear. I feared not becoming all that God was calling me to become. I could sense it, feel it, see it, and I felt overwhelmed by it. And what the Lord said to Moses, he says to us. What did he say to him? Let's read on. Verses 11 and 12. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. Get out and do something. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you what to say. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about young people, but it applies to all people, but I was especially thinking about the college age. Are you going where the Lord is leading you to go? Are you going where God is leading you to go, or where you want to go? Are you saying what God wants you to say? Or are you saying what you want to say? Well, what did Moses end up doing? Verse 13. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. Oh, my goodness. It's like when we ask for volunteers here. Send someone else. I can't work in the children's ministry. Well, maybe you can. Or maybe you can, and you're exactly the person you should be helping on Sunday morning during service with children. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said. What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks well, and look, he is on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak. And I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. And take your shepherd's staff with you and use it to perform the miraculous signs I have shown you. Why was the Lord angry with Moses? Why was the Lord angry with Moses? It wasn't because Moses was afraid. It was because he was being disobedient. It's time we stop playing the what-if game and start doing what God wants us to do. No more what-if. But what does God want us to do here? To fulfill our vision. To fulfill our vision. What's our vision here? It's simple. It's to create a place where everyone is known and loved. Where everyone is known and loved. Well, what does he want you to do specifically? Let's get a little more specific. He wants you to get to know and love the people he has placed in your life. He wants you to get to know and place the people he has placed in your life. Get to know and love the people he has placed in your life. Did Moses know and love his people? Did he know? No. In fact, he didn't even know if they were still alive. About to wrap up here. Verse 18. So Moses went back home to Jethro, his father-in-law. Please let me return to my relatives in Egypt, Moses said. I don't even know if they're still alive. Go in peace, Jethro replied. Before Moses left Midian, the Lord said to him, return to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you have died. So So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and headed back to the land of Egypt. In his hand, he carried the staff of God. And the Lord told Moses, "When you arrive back in Egypt, go to Pharaoh and perform all the miracles I have empowered you to do." God has empowered you, but I will harden his heart so he will refuse to let the people go. Then you will tell them, "This is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son." That's my son. "I commanded you, let my son go so he can worship me. But since you have refused, now I will kill your firstborn son." This is what I want you to notice here in this passage. I want you to know God takes care of his sons and daughters. He is looking out for you. He hasn't forgotten about you. If you step out in faith, if you step out in faith and do what God is calling you to do, he's going to take care of you. 1 Peter 5:7, we just finished with the youth group, the book of Peter. We're going to start the book of Romans this week. I'm ambitious. I believe they can do it. 1 Peter 5:7 is a great verse, right? If you've never heard this verse, it's one you should commit to memory. "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." Meditate on that today. Think about that. Give all your worries and cares to God. Why? For he cares about you. Are you trying to take care of yourself? Or are you allowing God to take care of you? What is someone who tries to take care of themselves do? They don't allow anyone to enter their lives, especially the Lord. Someone who's trying to take care of them, they don't allow anyone to enter their lives. You know, the Christian life wasn't meant to be lived alone. The Christian life wasn't meant to be lived alone. We need Jesus and we need each other. What are you saying, Ed? I'm saying you need to get connected. You need to get connected first to the Lord, to Jesus, and second to your brothers and sisters in Christ. We saw in this opening video this couple that was connected to their brothers and sisters in Christ that helped them through just a terrible time with their baby that had cancer and ended up dying. And no doubt, at some point or another, we all have something in our lives that we need help with. We need prayer with. Something in our marriage, something in our jobs, something in our school. And we need some brothers and sisters in Christ that can minister to us, but just as fulfilling as us ministering to them. Tomorrow night, Monica starts her women's group. She's doing a book by Elizabeth Elliot on suffering. Maybe you're here and you're like, "Ed, well, that's just not a good night of the week for me, Monday night." Okay. Then grab a book and you start a group. You start a group. Find three friends, three people you know. Read that book. Read that book with them, ladies. Men. We're starting our men's group next Sunday night. And you may say, "Well, Sunday night's a bad night." Okay. Grab a book. Read the book, right? Get some men that you know or like or are friends with. You work with, maybe they're a neighbor, maybe you're in a sport with, whatever it might be, you start a group and just work through that book. We're going to do a promo video here in a moment. After I pray, you can see what that book's about. But we need each other. The Christian life wasn't meant to be lived alone. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Ed, I've never asked Jesus into my heart. I've never asked him into my life. Never asked him to forgive me for my sins." We're going to give you that opportunity. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Ed, I'm a Christian, but I haven't been living like I should. I haven't been telling my family and friends. I'm not connected, and I know it. And I feel this emptiness and this loneliness, and I need to tell some people what's going on in my heart and my life, because I'm struggling with some things. If that's you, we're going to pray for you. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's powerful, and it's convicting. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you say, Ed, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I've been trying to live life on my own, and I don't allow anyone to enter into my life, including Jesus. And I realize I need to let go, and I need to allow Jesus into my heart and into my life so he can do the work that only he can do. Oh, Lord, I pray for those that want to make this decision. And if that's you, then I want to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. Jesus prayed that prayer. God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I'm kind of lonely. I'm kind of disconnected. And I haven't been telling family and friends. And I need to grab one of those books, the women's book, the men's group, and I need to grab a person or two in my life and ask them to join me in reading it and meet with them. Because I know a change needs to take place. I can't keep living the way I'm living. It's just not good. It's not healthy. Would you pray for me? Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ that we would connect with